many of the things that the media says are completely baseless have since been confirmed. For example, I was told, Dana, that the American by the American media, that it was baseless that migrants were capturing the geese from the local park pond and eating them. And yet there are 911 calls from well before this ever became a viral sensation of people complaining about that exact thing happening.
J.D. Vance has been making the talk show rounds, playing the role of not only the ticket, which wants to replace the current leadership, but the senator whose state has been flooded with asylum seekers as a result of a federal immigration policy with no actual support from the federal government. But is this just a tiny glimpse of what is happening in communities all over the United States? And have outrageous memes made the immigration issue one that can no longer be ignored? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. I want to start today with a few confirmed facts. 57,910. That is the total population in Springfield, Ohio in 2024. And 15 to 20,000. Well, that's the amount of Haitians who are legally in Springfield, Ohio under the temporary protection status, which is an immigration designation available to Haitians and foreign nationals from 15 other countries that allows them to live and work in the United States, well, for up to 18 months. Now, the Springfield community has seen a rise in HIV by at least 700% in the last 3 years alone. And according to the FBI, the increase in crime in the streets of Springfield is 142%. The majority are all attributed to incidents involving automobiles. Now, finally, it was just a few months ago, J.D. Vance actually expressed concerns about the Haitians being sent to towns like Springfield, Ohio, and the effects they were having on the community with little to no attention by the media.
In my conversations with folks in Springfield, it's not just housing. They're trying to build 5,000 new housing units, which is a very Herculean task in a town of about 55,000 people. But it's also hospital services, it's school services, there's a whole host of ways in which this immigration problem, I think, is having very real human consequences.
Now, all of this will bring us to today. We're following viral social media posts of concerned citizens at council meetings speaking of the Haitian immigrant dangerous driving without insurance or their housing costs being driven up, as well as the eating of animals, including the birds in the park, as well as household dogs and cats. The Haitian asylum seekers conversation has made it all the way to the presidential debate stage.
The people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from
but
television.
But the people are on television saying
manager.
Their dog was eaten by the people that went there.
Again, the Springfield city manager says there's no evidence of that.
But what is really going on in Springfield, Ohio? And is this highly political conversation going to be the issue that Donald Trump can use to unite his supporters and seal his victory in November? Well, I want to start off our show today with bringing in our guest, Scott Sands, who is a talk show radio host and host of the Scott Sands Show, and Steve Abramowitz, who is the host of Heartland Journal. Thank you so much, Scott and Steve, for joining me today. Scott, I want to start with you because this is your backyard. Now, considering Ohio, it's the entire state of Ohio, but I'm going to say it's your backyard. Tell me actually about Springfield, Ohio, and tell our viewers.
Springfield's a lovely, quaint little town, as you might expect, in the rural Midwest. It's about 45 miles or so away from Columbus and to the north of Dayton, about an hour away from Cincinnati as well. A former manufacturing town that saw the residents of the city leave by about 20,000 people over a 10, 15-year period during the manufacturing decline of the Midwest. And the number of Haitians that have migrated to the city of Springfield have repopulated that town and apparently has been an economic boon for the city from what the city's mayor is telling me.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the mayor because you've actually talked with Mayor Rob Rue and Governor DeWine, and I assume you've actually been to Springfield. Is everything that we're hearing in the media right now, is that what's happening on the ground?
Well, it depends on what story that you hear. The mayor has repeatedly told me, the sheriff and city manager has repeatedly told me that your pets are safe in Springfield. There may have been an isolated case. I'm certainly not going to say that no pets, no cats, no dogs, no geese have been eaten or have disappeared. That would be ridiculous for me to try to disprove that claim. However, generally speaking, there's not widespread pet disappearances, pet abductions, and geese being harvested out of the parks in Springfield. The pets are safe there. Again, an isolated incident may have happened, and there have certainly been those reports, 911 calls. We've seen testimony at city council meetings, but they're certainly not widespread. And I think it's a disparaging statement to make broadly about the Haitian population in Springfield. And that's not to say, and Scotty, it's certainly true on both cases that there are a large number of immigrants in the city, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily going after your pets either.
Okay, so take the pets aside. I've got to ask you, why do you think that Springfield, Ohio was picked? And is it the only town within your state that he was having to deal with this issue?
As of now, it's certainly the city in Ohio that's got the largest Haitian population, but other cities are seeing an influx of immigrants as well with a temporary protective status. Findlay, Ohio, which is between Toledo and Lima, is seeing about 3,000-4,000 Haitians moving into the city, and they're actually encouraging more because of the number of job opportunities that are there. Part of the reason why Springfield was a destination for these immigrants was because of the manufacturing jobs that were there at the Dole Vegetable Plant, at metal manufacturing and fabrication plants, and within the immigrant community, when there are jobs available, the word certainly spreads that, hey, maybe you should move here and we can create our own little culture and society in the city.
Well, it's interesting, and Steve, I'm going to bring you in on this question because this is not just to Springfield, Ohio, but constantly we're hearing that this is because of the job opportunities that these manufacturers brought in. But I thought we had record high unemployment in the United States right now, that there was nobody to work. So what is it? Are Americans just not wanting to do these jobs, and why aren't we forcing them to do them instead of bringing people from out of town?
That is an excellent question, and I admire JD for bringing back the beard and Donald Trump for winning the debate with the next day news cycle, you know, the memes and sound bites, which is all it's become, right, about eating the pets, the zinger of the night, which is proven to be true, even with media doing its best to make it a crazy conspiracy theory all week. Video and testimonials from real people living there, 911 calls show it to be true. The split screen was a bad idea because it showed Kamala unaware of it because of obviously her people didn't tell her. But the real public service is shining the spotlight on Springfield, Ohio, and other towns where the Simpsons are from, by the way, about an illegal immigration crisis. You know, Ohio, a reddish state, Trump must win. No legit winner for president has ever won without Ohio. It ranks fourth after California, Texas, and Florida for human trafficking cases, much more important than dogs and cats and swans, in my opinion. 25% of the counties in America haven't been reporting and skewing the statistics, so mostly called sanctuary city police departments. So they're number four ranking was in 2022 before they started doing that, like the near 1 million jobs they revised out of the payroll numbers. So in Ohio, 14.3% of women have been raped. Not an illegal immigration thing. It's a terrible problem. It's a crime thing. And that is higher than the national average. After a huge influx of immigrants, even Sweden, for example, saw rapes cases explode, especially amongst children. Okay. So there are places there that citizens just do not go ever for their own safety, for their parents and their grandparents used to love to go there as children, parks, campgrounds, even some public schools. It's happening here now in sanctuary cities like Austin, Texas, San Francisco, Seattle, where it's devastating the Asian community in Little Saigon and Aurora, Colorado, where they are flown in and bused by the Biden administration. Their pre-clearance app on Mayorkas's Homeland Security Department issued phones that also have Venmo for free cash to spend.
Well, and that brings to the bigger conversation that we're having to have, Scott, and you're having on your airwaves right now, is this was something that kind of been pushed aside, been made highly political. One side seems to push it more than the other, but the conversation's never actually in. But you go, I want to just for one segment, just focus on Ohio right now, because I find this interesting because you couldn't get any farther from the border than Ohio itself. Is this something, are you shocked, Scott, that we're hearing the politicians in the area say one thing, but the people say another?
I certainly think that the people, the residents, are probably frustrated with, especially in Springfield, the number of immigrants that have come to that city that are creating problems culturally. There is a cultural divide in that city right now. We're seeing it with the number of translators that are required. We're seeing it in the number of of people that are being ingested into the school system and the healthcare system and the strain that that's caused on public resources in the city. It's interesting when you talk about Ohio being a red state, why are so many immigrants moving to the state of Ohio, which is a red state? It's because if you look at the major urban areas in Ohio, we're talking about Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton, Toledo. Those are all cities controlled by Democrats that have become welcoming cities, that have become sanctuary cities, and therefore have opened the doors to immigrants to come to these communities.
Does that mean that this is a part of a bigger scheme to turn Ohio blue that they're going to potentially use? Because oddly enough, how the process works with this, they can apply for asylum, then they can eventually apply for citizenship while they are still here, which is actually a lot easier than most other immigration processes for those that are here trying to achieve their American citizenship.
Well, and certainly I don't want to take us off on a tangent, but that's one of the reasons why issue one in Ohio is become so hotly contested. It's the gerrymandering issue that's up for debate right now on the November ballot. And obviously, if you want to tie the two issues together, you could certainly see how population skews in these large cities could also adjust the makeup of the state legislature and the congressional districts.
Okay, so Steve, is this what we're seeing also in other states as well? Is this why you feel like the potentially Democrats are so pro-open border or pro-bringing in asylum from 15 countries that they feel like they're basically recruiting future voters?
Yes, I do, because ever since the motor voter bill was passed, these folks have to go to work, they have to drive a car, they get a driver's license, they're immediately registered to vote. Not a lot of citizenship questions on those applications, especially in California, where they basically made it illegal to ask somebody's citizen status to give them that. So yes, they're getting free voters, whether they vote Republican or Democrat, who knows, at least in the first cycle, I think they might be obligated. But, you know, I'm still concerned about the child labor and the children, because they walk them to the border, dangle their little legs over the fence and drop them 15 feet to the ground for Border Patrol to pick them up. When they process these kids, unaccompanied minors, they call them, they end up in a foster care system in Ohio, in California, everywhere, with adults that nobody has looked into to see if they're gang members, sexual predators, domestic abusers in their past, nothing. Sometimes 5 to 10 at a time in one bedroom apartment with a stipend. Obviously, they're going to get paid for this. And of course, they end up working with fryers at the back of a fast food restaurant or selling their little bodies on the street for their new family just to survive. So in 2021, there was a movie called Cleveland Kidnappings that drew attention to the wave of crime-plagued Ohio. From 2002 to 2004, Errol Castro kidnapped Michelle Knight, Amanda Berry, and Gina DeJesus, I think she calls it, and held them captive basically till 2013, 10 years, and then that was 10 years ago. Since then, illegal immigrants have flown in nonstop to Ohio, making up 25% of the population of some towns. It doesn't take 25% of a town of 50,000 to be bad criminals. You just need one. And so bad, some of the sewer systems can't handle it. And residents are complaining about the smell and the ability to just have sanitation. So it's making it like a third world country. So and the cats and dogs thing, of course, is cultural, right? They're using it sometimes right. For voodoo rituals, because in Haiti, that is what they'd understand. And they're not being acclimated when they get here. They're just dropped on the street. So, of course, they do what they know how to do religiously and, of course, not starve to death, so that you would everything get their hands on for protein, which could be a cat, could be a dog, could be a swan, could be a duck. It's terrible. Back home, they can't just go to the corner McDonald's and get a 99-cent Happy Meal. Here, they're being promised the American dream with no resources to actually achieve it.
And that is something that actually, Scott, your thoughts real quick?
Scott, I want to caution Steve and anyone else to be careful about the allegations on the voodoo rituals and again, the pet and geese abductions. And those stories we may wind up learning that they are true, but so many of those stories have been started by neo-Nazi white supremacist groups who portrayed themselves to be citizens of Springfield, Ohio, testifying in front of the city council, and we've now since learned their identity. Again, that doesn't mean that it has not happened, but I want to look at these stories objectively and investigate them a little bit further, because again, overwhelmingly, we're told by the governor, lieutenant governor, the mayor, that this is just not happening in that city.
Okay, well, Steve, Scott, I want you to hold on with me. Well, hold on. When we come back, because I do want you to make your point, because I think we can all agree, because like politicians will ever admit that they're in the wrong. But I want to get your point, Steve, when we come back. because we are also going to talk about how each campaign is using the recent spotlight on this small town and the Haitian migrant crisis to its political advantage or to the political disadvantage of their opponent. After the break. Welcome back to Perspective. I'm your host, Scotty Nell Hughes. Now, the situation in Springfield, Ohio might only have been in the headlines for a little over a week, but it put a spotlight on the immigration issue. Now, Donald Trump constantly tries to highlight this issue. While the borders are, Kamala Harris would like everyone to forget. So I want to bring back in our panel to discuss the political effects of this latest headline. Scott Sands, host of the Scott Sands Show. They're in Ohio. Steve Aberwitz, host of the Heartland Journal. Thank you so much for joining me on this. Before we left, Steve, you wanted to make a point back regarding the conversation that we're having.
Yeah, so my Heartland journalist and friend Jonathan Cho, for his Cho Show, went to Aurora and filmed the renters kicked out by the Tren de Agua Venezuelan gangs. Got their stories. So it is true. The government and media is once again spinning things they are embarrassed of. Even the governor of Ohio, DeWine, had to come out and said that the 30 bomb threats to schools were from out of the country and hoaxes. So Trump was right to focus the attention to it in general. And hopefully the corruption of the mayor of Aurora City Hall, getting paid above average rents to house these people from NGO money will stop and maybe put some people in jail for profiteering while passing laws making citizens less safe and more afraid for their children's lives. The schools are overwhelmed with not English speakers and actually adult age males in kindergarten, you know, most unvetted. So putting kids in danger. So I just am thankful that Trump was able to, in his way, talking about eating the dogs and the cats and the pets, to at least shine the light on a problem of assimilation and some bad elements around our kids.
Well, and let's point out that this is a Republican governor. DeWine is Republican. The mayor, while I think several of us have tried to figure out what exactly political party is, he doesn't necessarily listen on Ballotpedia just because it's not a nonpartisan office. You would think he leans left just based on some of the statements that he's made and what he's been celebrating, the diversity that's on his council. But he has not been an outright Democrat. And obviously, no elected official likes to admit, especially if they've been in office for a while, that there are things going wrong in their community. That being said, when I want to look at the idea, and I'm going to start with you on this, Steve, because Democrats want to keep focusing on this animal angle, because you're right. A lot of those, as Scott has pointed out, have been debunked. They've been shown that they did actually happen. The main ones that kind of got circulated first, even Charlie Kirk posted out. But Republicans are focusing on the actions of the Haitians as well as the effects on the community. Do you think this is a part of a bigger strategy so that people will look around their own communities, as I've seen in my own message boards in Tennessee, and go, is this happening in my state as well, and to alert them to this issue?
That would be the brilliance. That would be the four-dimensional chess if he's playing that, because, of course, the cats and the dogs is the shiny object. It's the laser pointer with the cat climbing up the wall. It's the memes. It's the sound bites that have been played on Twitter for the last 7 days. But the reality is, oh my goodness, these cities and municipalities and states, in some cases, especially the sanctuary ones, are being overwhelmed with trying to service these people, whether they be asylum seekers, criminals released from prison, or just somebody who's come to America for a better way of life for themselves and their family. You know, we're talking in California, $150,000 for a house, medical care, preloaded gift cards to use at the grocery store and restaurants, paid for by taxpayers working two or three jobs just to feed their own families. And we learn, you know, to spend more as a country on national debt interest payments this year than military and everything else except Social Security and Medicare. And out comes Tim Walz, who just said they're going to use Social Security to help these illegals. So again, America last, America not being treated well, all the money going to Ukraine, nothing for our roads and infrastructures. So if we want to invest more in our country and our citizens, our veterans, the rest of the things that America is supposed to honor, this being Constitution Day, then how can we possibly continue to flood these zones, flood these areas with illegals who don't know the country, don't know their criminal background, don't know the health codes, don't know how to not, you know, jump in a national monument to bathe and this happened in D.C. because they nobody's telling them how to do this. They're not processing them. They're just flooding small communities. And then you have to look at it, too, and say, wait a minute, a lot of the places where they're being shipped happen to have voted for Trump or Republican in last election cycles. Are they doing this on purpose, right, to change the demographics as destiny for future votes? And I think the answer is yes, because in 2030, we have a census coming up, and that census counts heads. It does not count citizens. And so if they don't change the law, like my state Senator Hagerty, my U.S. Senator Hagerty tried to do, where every Democrat voted no and every Republican voted yes to make a citizen question on that census, they are going to get congressmen and senators back in D.C. that represent no real voters. They have to change that. And this is part of the way of don't look at that. Look at the cats and the dogs and whether it's true or not.
And you're correct. That's why Hagerty wanted to do it. Now, I listened to your interview, Scott, that you did with the mayor. And even the mayor, regardless of what political party belongs to, did sound he was frustrated that not only was this a federal policy, but he has not had much federal government support for it. That's where he says the main problem is. And yes, the governor has stepped in and put in, I think, two additional million dollars, $3 million to help support in language translators. But is that something that if maybe the federal government had offered more support initially when they were putting these citizens in these communities to work in these manufacturing jobs, that we wouldn't be even having this conversation right now?
I think it certainly could have taken some of the attention away. Obviously, when you've got people who don't know how to drive, who are getting driver's licenses and causing accidents, when you've got a strain on the healthcare system, on the education system, that's going to attract some attention. But the point of sending $2.5 million in state funds to the city of Springfield is still our taxpayer money. And if it had come from the federal government, that's still money that could have been used to help American citizens rather than continuing to flood the country with immigrants, whether they're here legally or not. It's a question of a larger immigration policy, which has failed under the Biden-Harris administration. And Scotty, I did see a story in The Blade, a newspaper from Toledo, Ohio, that seems to say that Springfield is generally Republican controlled. The mayor apparently is a Republican, which is something I didn't know at the time.
Well, like I said, it'd be real interesting, but he's done a really good job, probably better than any politician, of hiding what his colors are. But, you know, something did arise as you were talking. If these Haitians are being brought in to work in these manufacturing companies, one, which manufacturing companies are we talking about? You know, unfortunately, we find out so many times when people come here from other countries, they are very reserved in turning in things that are happening to them because they don't want to put the spotlight on them with the law. Do we know about what is actually going on, as to Steve's point? Do we know what their working conditions are? Do we know what they're getting paid? And if they're getting paid an actual living wage, why are we hearing these stories of 10, 15, 20 living in one house together? And are they also getting federal money on top of that? So where is all the money going if they're making money? Could there be potentially us setting up here if we don't know the manufacturing jobs, and maybe you can shed some light on what companies are hiring them? And are they getting paid at the very least a minimum wage?
Well, I can tell you that there is a metal manufacturing company in Springfield that was interviewed by, I believe, the Columbus Dispatch that said 10% of his workforce now are Haitian immigrants. Now, that may seem like a large number, but it's 30 employees. And in the interview, in the article, he said he would love to have 30 more. I did some investigation. The Dole vegetable plant is based in Springfield. They're constantly hiring. I'm hearing that a large number of Haitian immigrants are working for the Dole company there. And in their job postings on Indeed and some of the other job sites, they're paying anywhere from $17 to $27 an hour. So it's a decent wage for a starting salary.
But do you think they're actually getting paid it? I mean, let me just point out, if you're making if you're making that amount of money, then why are we having to live 10, 15 into a house, into a single house? And are they actually
a housing crisis in Springfield. They just simply don't have houses, as you heard J.D. Vance says. Say at the very beginning, as senator, they're trying to build 5,000 houses in Springfield. That's with supply chain shortages, with labor shortages. That's quite a task to take on. And with the interest rates the way they are today, it's expensive to buy a house.
Well, let me just point out, if there's that much money that's being offered by these manufacturers, then American citizens are very ignorant if they don't take them up on those offers for those types of jobs. Thank you so much. I want to thank you both, Steve and Scott, for shedding some light onto this conversation. I am sure we will continue to have it all the way up until November.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you.
Okay. I find it hypocritical. All of these liberal pundits I'm having to debate lately, that they're crying over the treatment of immigrants. When we have homeless veterans on our own streets and our elderly are barely able to survive on Social Security. Do you know that there are over 80,000 Americans currently homeless on our streets? 33,000 of them being veterans of the United States Armed Services. The average Social Security check for Americans over 65 is $1,782 per month. That's only $22,000 a year, an amount that is impossible for someone to live on with today's cost of living. All of this is adding to a $35 trillion debt, which none in either party, but especially the Democratic Party, seem to acknowledge as they continue to act like a circus barker and give money to any group that might benefit them. Well, that's unless you're actually talking about the hardworking taxpaying Americans. Therefore, pardon me if I don't believe these cries for humanity, because it all seems very politically convenient. But hey, that's just my perspective. I'm Sky Nell Hughes. This has been Perspective. Thanks for watching.